When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome, everyone, to this Instant Reaction podcast here on Couch Potato Diary following AEW Revolution. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in, whether you're watching tonight or at any point. Thank you so much. If you're watching, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you're listening, make sure you subscribe to the channel and leave a review. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. You can email the show, couchpotatodiary at yahoo.com. Also, facebook.com/couchpotatodiary. This was an unbelievable show. Obviously, a lot of emotion. You might even be able to see from my face some tears shed as the icon, the man they call Sting, has retired following quite the retirement match from Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this whole card. It was a bit of a roller coaster. We had some insane. We had some okay. Overall, this was a very good show. And I think kind of the type of show AEW needed to have. They do not have a ton of momentum going on for them right now. And so for AEW to hit one out of the park and really deliver now, and pay-per-views are going to be important for this company, right? Like, they have nine or 10 pay-per-views coming up this year. So they need to establish, and they have, in their credit, they have established that pay-per-views are this company's bread and butter. They hit it out of the park on these. And tonight, we saw a lot of hit it out of the park. And then we get to the main event of the evening. So we're not going to fully work in reverse chronological order, but we'll go main event and then start back at the beginning. Sting and Darby Allin retain the AEW World Tag Team Championships in a wild match that already seeing a lot of debate online and getting it in my inbox as well. This was crazy. Obviously, like, the emotion coming in, it's Sting's last match. I thought they did a good job with the Young Bucks, changing Matt and Nick Jackson to Matthew and Nicholas and all of those things to really build the Young Bucks up as like a really hateable team. And also you get the idea, like, look, this is the Young Bucks. Like, if they were to put the tag team titles on the Young Bucks, no one's batting an eye. And so you have a legitimate challenger in this bout. And then, the Bucks come out, they do their thing. Darby comes out and then a video plays and it's the final show time for Sting. And they do a retrospective of his career, obviously with just still photos from his time in World Championship Wrestling. I love that they got the New Japan Pro Wrestling footage in there. It really did make it better. I'm sure they could have got TNA if they needed to, but you get Surfer Sting in there and all the way through to AEW. And then he said, it's showtime for the final time. It's showtime. And he comes out and his two sons are dressed up in very famous Sting garb. One, the Great American Bash outfit that Sting had, and the other, Wolfpack Sting. And they get involved early on as they both land Stinger splashes, and then they help set up things around the ring. And they set up a couple of tables, and then they pull out panes of glass, which was a thing. And we get the first break with Sting going to hit, I believe it was Matt with the bat, and he missed, and it went through the glass, and it was like, okay, so we're doing this. And they set it up. I'm not going to go blow by blow in this match, but you know the first, like, they set everything up, and then the Bucks kind of take over. They work their way to the stage. Both Darby and Matt end up going through, Darby and Sting end up going through tables. They come back toward ringside and start really working over Darby Allin, and Darby starts to fight back, and his offense is incredible. And he is one of the reasons why I push back on some of the things being said tonight. And look, again, like, for the 99% of people are being positive right now. But like, we'll get to Darby in a second, but I think he comes across like a stuntman in this, but still really, really great, right? And he starts battling back, and then he gets the Bucks on the outside, he climbs up to the top of what may as well have been a 100-foot ladder, and does a flip off of it, tries to hit the Young Bucks, and goes through the pane of glass that was set up on the table, and he is bleeding everywhere. This one, I kind of got the feeling from all of this that this was more Jungle Boy glass than it was CM Punk glass, right? Like, this, I don't think this was working glass, brother. I think it was shoot glass. That was fucking insanity. I gasped. I probably let out a noise. I have no idea. I don't want to say I've never seen anything like it, because we've all watched a death match or two, right? Like, that kind of shit happens all the time. But at this high of a level, on this stage, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. And several stages down, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. Like, that kind of shit is reserved for matches that happen in guys' backyards. Like, that was insanity that we saw that. So Darby's out for a while. Stinger at that point starts to come back. They work him over a little bit. There's another pane of glass, and it's like, what? He's not wrestling tomorrow. He's got the rest of his life to heal up from all of these battle scars. So why the fuck not throw a 62-year-old man through a pane of glass in the ring? And that's when I tweeted out, like, could you imagine 1988, you're telling Sting, hey, by the way, you're gonna wrestle for 34 years and your retirement match, it's gonna be a banger. It's like, oh, awesome, that's great. Yeah, you're gonna go through one of three panes of glass to be broken on the night. Huh? It's unfathomable what we saw. And then they a couple moves, look like they're gonna pin him, they don't, or he kicks out, and then he starts to Hulk up, and there were some great spots in it. Like, they put him through a table and he just rises up and does like the Sting beating on the chest thing. Also, shout out, had to have the Sting shirt on for the night. I know my shirts don't pop up on these all that often, but, you know, had to. But yeah, he does that. There's an excellent spot where the Young Bucks are going, we're not sorry and we hate you. In a nice callback to, obviously, Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 24, now 16 years ago. We get some Ric Flair involvement and some Ricky the Dragon Steamboat involvement, as Rick, like, covers up Sting at one point, and then he eats a super kick, and there's a funny picture going around right now that he is just laying in glass. This is a dumb thing we do, isn't it? It was wild. And then they, like, Darby somehow is alive and comes back, does a coffin drop on one of the Bucks, and Sting locks him up in the Scorpio Deathlock, and they get the tap, and it's a feel-good moment. It is a bit shitty that, like, the match ends and there's 3 minutes left on the pay-per-view, and Sting's cutting a promo, and we just get the thing on the bottom, and then it goes to black. And it's just like, man, it's like, I understand, like, pay-per-view windows are a thing, but you book this whole show out. Can you not go to whoever and just be like, hey, sorry, man, we only have, we got this thing. Can we buy an extra half hour? You know, like, can we do that, please? Because it ending in that way was just so unsatisfying, where he's like, yeah, I'm getting cues. And then it's just like, bye. It's like, okay, well, that's the last we're ever going to hear from this guy who I dressed up as for Halloween when I was in grade, like, 2. So that was just a bit of a bummer, but it was still like, I thought they hit it out of the park with this whole thing. Like this is Sting's last appearance in blah, 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 blah. This is Sting's last blah, 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 blah. And like really treating him like the icon that he is. Like he is one of the icons of this industry, of the professional wrestling world. He is that dude. And they made tonight feel special. I thought there could have been some stuff throughout the night, but I mean, look, they were obviously hurting for time if we're cutting Sting off. So I guess we couldn't have had an extra 3 minutes of video time. But, like, look, overall, they did a great job. And for Sting, like, the fact that he is performing at this level at 62 is incredible. And what a career. What an unbelievable career. I'm going to do a Sting legacy look this week, and I'll get more into the impact of Sting. But you look at even just... we talked about this before, and it's easy to say this because it's been a 34-year career, but you can honestly break Sting's career up into two Hall of Fame runs, right? Like, the WCW, incredible, unbelievable, one of the biggest stars on the earth. Part of, one of, if not the great storylines in the history of professional wrestling, if it would have been finished right, with the him not talking for a year and feuding with Hulk Hogan and culminating in a victory at Super Bowl instead of Starcade, but still, with him becoming the world champion and finally taking down the leader of the NWO, you get like the from Surfer Sting to that, to the Wolfpack, to everything, like absolute Hall of Fame, whatever. But then, like his time in TNA and what he meant for that company, and then like, the WWE run wasn't amazing, but then like these last couple of years in AEW have been unbelievable. It's two Hall of Fame careers wrapped up into one icon. And there will never be another Sting. The way he was able to connect with audiences and the way that he was able to put on a show in a number of different areas, like a number of different styles, I guess, in the ring. Man, there's not many like him. And you could see it tonight. Like, there are people crying in the crowd. I was crying before the match even started. It was an emotional night. He had a real connection with so many generations of fans, and to go out like that was pretty sweet. And look, like I don't know if he listens or not, but a shout out to Chris Pope, who I'm in a debate with right now about whether Sting should have put the Young Bucks over. There was no beating Sting tonight, right? Like that place would have burned to the ground if Sting would have lost that. And I think you would have turned a lot of people off if Sting would have lost this match. And I think that you would have got a lot of the same type of talk around this as WWE gets for having Sting lose to Triple H and Seth Rollins. Like, people do not look favorably upon that. And so I think this was the real thing that he deserved. And look, like, Darby Allin is still a champion. And Darby Allin, that clip is going to be played across everywhere for all time. Darby Allin comes out of this whole thing being put over, so to speak. The Young Bucks don't need to be more over. They already are. So Darby Allin, I think, gets elevated by all of this. So I think if you want to look at, like, Sting needed to put someone over, Sting put Darby Allin over. So there we go. But yeah, I thought a fitting send-off. That match was insane. And Darby Allin is crazy. You hope he is okay. But, like, Darby Allin, I think, is ready to be elevated into the title picture, 100%. I said it in the preview show, I think the way they go about this now is they technically vacate the titles, but you do it kind of as, I think I called it Plan C before, you do it as Option C, like they had in Impact Wrestling with the X Division Championship around Destination X, where it's like, look, you can cash this thing in and use it as a championship opportunity. You can say, Darby Allin, you were a world champion on the tag team side by vacating, like, if you want to still be a world champion, or have a shot at being a world champion, you can vacate these tag team titles and get a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. And then it's him and Samoa Joe. You can put Wardlow in there as well. Spoiler alert for something that happened later on in the show. And go about it that way. And then I would do a World Tag League style tag team tournament with like 8 teams, round robin, build it up to the next pay-per-view, or have it be included in the next pay-per-view, I guess, late in April. You could get it done by April. With Collision and stuff, you can get it done by then. So that's what I would do. And you would have some unbelievable matches, right? Like with the Young Bucks involved, with Moxley and with Claudio. There would be There would be a lot. You could have a CMLL team in there, the Lucha Bros. You could have a lot going on with that. So that's how I would do it. But I'm interested to see what they do with this. Now, all right, let's go to the beginning of the show. It started with Christian Cage taking on Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. This was a fine match. Like, Christian is obviously very good. Daniel Garcia is still finding his way a little bit, but is a very talented wrestler. But for an opening of a pay-per-view, I thought this needed to be a little bit more. I thought that this needed to be a little bit more fast-paced, I guess. Like, start this thing off like a WCW-style Cruiserweight title match. Like, honestly, I would have put the first match, or put the second match first here with Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson, and just really set the tone for the night. Like, this was a good wrestling match, but I don't think it was a very good opener. Christian ends up getting the win. I didn't think Daniel Garcia had much of a hope, and that was another part of it, too. Like, it never felt like the crowd really got into it, and then you get a bit of shenanigans, and that is that. Up next, it was for the Continental Crown, Eddie Kingston taking on Bryan Danielson. This was fantastic. I loved the start with the both interviewers saying, like, I just spoke with Daniel Bryan, he blah, 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 blah. And then, Bryan Danielson. And he goes from that and walks to the entranceway. And then same thing with Renee, who is so good at her job, talking up Eddie Kingston. And then he goes, and it was very All Japan Pro Wrestling-esque, where they would have the view in the back and they'd walk to the ring. I thought that set the tone for a match where these guys just beat the shit out of each other, which was exactly what this match needed to be. I absolutely love this match. Absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed it. All of the chops, all, like, Eddie Kingston telling an amazing story with his hand, and Eddie eventually getting the win, and then the handshake after. Eddie Kingston, it's unique and everything like that, but he's a star, man. He is an absolute 100% star. Then you had the 8-man scramble. I get what they're doing with the thing that we love here with the big meaty men smacking meat. It feels a little disingenuous because it wasn't a thing they came up with. Like, this is stealing from a WWE podcast. And so I just feel weird about it when AEW is, like, it was going to be like the all meat whatever, and now it's just an 8-man scramble. This, honestly, if we were looking to save time, this didn't need to be here. Some people have talked about how, like, WWE having a men's and a women's Royal Rumble Elimination Chamber and all of that is, like, it kind of maybe takes away some of the specialness of some of the matches because you're seeing them twice on a show. But if we are working so hard to get 8 of these guys onto the pay-per-view, and then only having one women's match on the main show, it's an area AEW has struggled with a lot. Like, this match did not need to be here. We could have done this one on the pre-show. We could have done this one on Dynamite, either leading up to or following on Collision on Saturday. Like, this didn't feel like a pay-per-view match at all. Wardlow winning makes a ton of sense. After I did the preview, actually watching this match today, in the middle of it, Wardlow was like, oh, he's going to win. Oh, that was stupid that I went Archer. Wardlow's going to win. And then he did. So I guess good for him. But this match did not need to be here. Orange Cassidy against Roderick Strong was up next. A really technical match. Really fun. Really, really fun match. Spot where Roddy drops Orange Cassidy on the top rope looked painful as shit. And it was one of, like, 5 of those that we saw on this card. Strong's backbreakers are just the best. And Orange Cassidy, obviously, brilliant at selling. He has, like, 85 pieces of K-tape on him, and everything looks like it's just beating the shit out of him, which it probably was. And then Orange gets his comeback. The finish does feel like it came a little out of nowhere, and that's something AEW has had a bit of trouble with at times, is, like, the proper way to kind of lead into a finish. It just felt like, oh, shit, we have to go home now. All right. And the match is over. But, like, don't let it take away. This was a strong, strong performance, no pun intended. And then afterwards, Kyle O'Reilly is back, and he turns down an invitation to the Undisputed Kingdom. So we'll see if he is going to be the one to try to take this group down. He and MJF would be quite the pairing. That is for sure. Then we get BCC taking on FTR. Moxley and Claudio coming out with the old school Road Warriors shoulder pads was a tremendous touch, given all of the nods to Jim Crockett Promotions this weekend. That was really, really well done. This match was great. Like, you knew going in that these guys were going to have just a knockdown, drag-out match. And that's exactly what it was. There was one point, Claudio is up on the shoulders, and they're going to do, like, a cross-body block doomsday device type of a thing. And Claudio catches him while he's diving at him and turns it into a power slam to the mat. Just, the guy is a freak. The guy's an absolute freak. He should be in the world title picture as well. You could say that about a bunch of guys in AEW. But, like, this guy, aside from Ring of Honor, how this guy doesn't have a real world championship run by now is beyond me. And then the BCC do a doomsday device spot of their own, and Claudio, like, springboard into a European uppercut into a doomsday device. Guy's a freak. Just an unbelievable, unbelievable athlete. This was a fantastic match as well. The finish was a little bit underwhelming with the chokeouts. I thought the one part that made the finish was Cash, right? Yeah, Cash was trying to break it up because Dax was locked up in a sleeper hold. And so he throws Claudio to the outside. Claudio runs around and dives back in on the far side to cut off Cash with a sleeper hold of his own. So it looked like a cool spot, but the one problem was Moxley had kind of rolled over to the side so that his back was to the camera that we had. And so it took them a couple of camera shots, which, just a quick note, AEW's production was not 100 on this one. There was a couple of times where it just missed, but it took them a couple of camera angles to finally get to see Dax out, basically, and ends up getting the win. But BCC, like, everything about them, I love. They stick to their plan really well. We get Timeless Toni Storm against Deonna Purrazzo for the Women's World Championship. This was just a very, very strong match. Both of these performers, you know how good they are. We get a bit of a weird finish again with some interference and blah, 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 blah. But overall, like, for this to be the only women's representation on this show is a big AEW problem. Especially a show that went 4 solid hours. You need more of it on this main card. You can have whatever tag matches you want on the 0 hour. 50,000 people are watching those, right? So there needs to be a bit more women's involvement, quite a bit more women's involvement, not just, okay, what's the title match? All right, I guess that's what's going on. We need to, if you're going to build some of these stars on a night like this, it's probably going to be the biggest pay-per-view buy of the year, I would guess. I think there needs to be a bit more involvement on there. And then we get to what ends up being a match of the year contender with Will Ospreay taking on Konosuke Takeshita. This was great. A fantastic showing from both. I wrote down at the end, a star-making night for both. And look, like, they both, like, Will Ospreay is, no one watched this tonight and was like, oh, wow, I didn't know Will Ospreay had this in him. You obviously knew that he could do it. Takeshita, this was a level raiser for him, for sure. Both of them were just on point. The count, like, when this match really picked up, it was second to none. They have all of the counters. Ospreay does that hook kick that catches Takeshita. Takeshita bounces back, hits something else. The Oz cutter into the blue thunderbomb was spectacular from Takeshita. And then when the hidden blade, when he hits the fuck out of him with that, and Takeshita kicks out at one, it's like this thing gets to another level. And we saw that, I forgot to mention that, we saw that in the Sting match as well. He kicks out at one after a second EVP trigger, and the place went nuts. That is now such a well-used part, I think, on this show tonight, from what we saw. But yeah, just the back and forth that these two had. The Takeshita brainbuster into the corner looked really, really, really rough. But much like Randy Orton in the Elimination Chamber, what appeared to be a legitimate back injury, I think kind of amped things up and made this feel just a little bit more real before, or more real than it did before. Ospreay getting the win here makes the most sense, but Takeshita, like I said, this was a star-making night for him. This one, if this isn't match of the year, then we are in for an unbelievable next 9 months, because he was, like, this whole thing was perfect. I was laughing at points because it was just so ridiculous what these two men were doing. I'm probably going to go back and rewatch this at some point tomorrow. Just a beautiful exhibition of professional wrestling. And then the world title fight, like the crowd was exhausted. The crowd was bagged for this. And so this one never really felt like it got out of second gear. I thought they were trying to tell a good story with Swerve and Hangman, basically trying to cost each other the world title. I thought there was maybe, it could have gone a bit further into that, but this one needed a buffer of some sort. And because the crowd at this point, it's like they're ready for Sting. And also, you just had the match of the year. So I think you needed something between that and the world title fight, because the world title match ends up being your buffer match. And then we get to Sting against Darby Allin. Sting and Darby Allin, sorry, against the Young Bucks and Gravity and breaking glass table things. This was a great show. Overall, this was a great show. Again, there are a couple of critiques that keep it from being a perfect show. A couple of the matches never really got going as much as you would want them to, and a lack of women's involvement is something that really stands out for AEW. But holy shit, man. The good on this show is better than anything you'll see, and that's still something that AEW can do. Again, I would, regardless of the type of wrestling that you like, if you're into wrestling at all, there's going to be something on this show for you. And so I would recommend it. If you haven't watched it already, go out and check this one out. All right, that's going to do it for this instant reaction. Coming up tomorrow on the podcast, we will have the second edition of the Catalan Autocast, looking at Blue Jay Spring training storylines. Also, early in the flagship show, Couch Potato Diary, we're going to have some early UFC 299 storylines. Gonna have the latest from the Calgary Flames following their game against the Pittsburgh Penguins this weekend, and just everything else going on in the sports world. If you're looking for more wrestling content, we are going to be looking at now what I would do for AEW going into the next pay-per-view, AEW Dynasty, coming up on the 21st of April. So that is what is coming up here. For all of the updates, check out facebook.com/couchpotatodiary. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/primetimepk. You can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. If you are watching this show, thank you. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you want to catch it in podcast form, it's available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are listening to this on podcast, thank you. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review. Also, check me out on YouTube. Just search Couch Potato Diary. So, thank you guys so much for putting up with my rantings on professional wrestling, and I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes, on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.